Well, praise the Lord, and thank you for being here tonight and joining us for our Bible study, time of ministry in the Word of God. We're very thankful to God for the opportunity that we have to be able to share the Word of God together and to come together as a family. There is no distance in the spirit. So wherever you're joining us from tonight, I know that we're broadcasting through our website, YouTube, most likely Facebook as well. But we're also on our conference line. We know there the people who might not be able to join us online and view, but who might be able to listen. Maybe they are work, they are catching a little break, or there's things they have to do. They can't be in one stationary place. They can listen. So we're really thankful for the opportunity to be able to all come together this Wednesday evening and to dig into the Word of God together. Just before we share a word of prayer, I'm trusting God that you have no technical difficulties. You can see us clearly, you can hear clearly, and everything is good. So if that is the case, praise God. I'm gonna have us share a word of prayer together, and then we're gonna get into the Word of God. I want to go straight into the Word. I want to keep it within 1 hour, and I want you to get as much as the Holy Spirit has for you. I know that He would say different things to different people, but I'm very excited about what we're going to be talking about tonight. So let's bow our heads and let's share a word of prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come around the Word of God. The Bible says in the Psalms, it says that I rejoice at the word like someone who found great spoil. I know that our deliverance is in your word. Our lifting is in your word. Our blessing is in your word. Our establishment is in your word. Everything that you seek and you desire to do in our lives comes into manifestation by the authority of the word of God. So, Lord, let your word do us good tonight. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've already prepared this meal. Let it be good. Let it be easy to receive. Let there be grace, more than sufficient grace tonight, not just to minister it, but to receive it. I thank you for that, Father. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We receive your favor and your blessings. Thank you, God, for every one of our brothers and sisters who are joining us. And Lord, those who would listen to this message or this teaching afterwards, Father God, thank you for causing our ears to be inclined to your word. Thank you, God, for making your grace available to us. We thank you, Lord. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I just again want to thank you, and I want to remind you, we're praying for you. I don't know what your experience is, wherever you are in the country or in the world, with what is going on right now. That's the number one hot topic everywhere, is COVID-19. But we want to make the word of God our defense. We want to hide under the covering of that word. We want to dig into it, and we want to keep filling ourselves. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So I trust God tonight that there will be faith released within you as you receive the word of God, that you would have understanding, and that even as I minister, the Holy Spirit himself will take things that he has ordained for each individual person and that he will make it available to us. The Bible says that the Word of God became flesh. It dwelt amongst us and it became flesh. And then we saw the glory of God. It manifested as the glory of God. So I pray that that happens in all of our lives tonight. All right. What I'm going to have us talk about is something that I mentioned during our recent service, our Sunday service, our last Sunday service. And I said that our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against the assaults of COVID-19. And I really just want to stay very strongly on that theme and have us dig into it as much as we can, because our covenant, when the storms of life are raging, when things are going on everywhere, and we are caught up because we are in this world, even though we are not of this world, but we all have similar experiences. It's how we respond to it, how we allow it to affect us, that often makes the difference for covenant people. The same storms, the same clouds, the same floods come at all of us. But we have a covenant. We have an ark. We dwell within the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense. That's our defense against all the assaults of COVID-19. Now, I know it's COVID-19 is primarily a health attack. It's a disease. It's a virus. But you and I also know that beyond the direct assault of that disease or that virus, there are also indirect assaults and indirect results of the experiences that the entire world is going through. I mean, right now there are nations shut down. I think the Prime Minister of India, maybe yesterday or today, just locked down the entire nation. And our dear field director in the nation of India, who's coordinating a lot of our work there in our mission there, Brother Ashish, sent a message in the middle of the night describing how challenging that situation is becoming. And especially the further away from the cities you go, the more challenging it gets for those people. So our hearts go out to them and we pray for them, and we continue to encourage them, all of our ministers and pastors and everyone associated, not just with Abundant Life International Church Commission, but everyone associated with the kingdom of God that is in one way or the other affected by what is going on. But nations are locked down. Cities are locked down all over the United States. And you can imagine all the different things that that affects. So it's not just health. It's not, yes, hospitals are getting overwhelmed, and medical staff and health professionals and doctors, nurses, and support professionals and things like that, and support workers. Are all in one way or the other directly affected as they interact and relate with patients and things like that. But beyond that, there are also other things that are affected. As you well know, there's so much talk about the economy right now, global economy, national economy, and all the different things that come along with that. But in addition to that, I mean, there's all this social distancing. I mean, relationships, if we're not careful, can be negatively affected if we can't, you know, people can't come together, businesses, people with skills, professionals, or people who work in different areas of life who can perform their regular duties. I mean, a lot of that is going to ultimately affect everything that goes on in our lives. So there is more than just the direct impact. I mean, the direct impact is bad enough, but there is so much more that the world, our nation, believers, and the world at large has to deal with and grapple with as a result of this situation. But while we are focusing on this, remember, this isn't the enemy's best shot yet. This isn't his worst attack yet. I mean, and I'm not trying to raise an alarm or scare you or anything, but Satan has more things in his arsenal. I mean, just look in the Word of God and you see that. But regardless of what he has, and regardless of what he does, our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against every assault of the enemy. It is so important at this time as believers, children of God, that we stay strong, we stay confident, and we relate with our covenant as a defense. I know that just a couple of days ago we talked about our good shepherd and read out and studied in Psalm 23 the Lord's promises to us, his assurance to us, and all that he has said he will do for us, because he's our good shepherd. We're never alone. The psalmist David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that is a word we need to have a revelation of, that we are not responsible for the things that concern us. We're not responsible for our direction. We're not responsible for our protection. We're not responsible for our provision. We're not responsible for our restoration. We're not responsible for our preservation. We're not responsible for all of that. The Lord, who is our shepherd, has promised to take care of us. And so it is absolutely important that we are confident and we live and continue to walk in that confidence through this season. So, I believe that our covenant is actually akin to the ark of Noah. And let me just, if you don't mind, let me use that as a little analogy, right? So, of course, you see the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 8. I'm not going to read all of that. I think I'm going to probably just read one verse there, maybe in Genesis chapter 6, two verses maybe. Just want you to see something here in Genesis chapter 6, and that is verse 17 and 18. This is the Lord. The Lord said, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." But the Lord said to Noah, he says, "But with you I will establish my covenant." Look at that. So the Lord says, something is coming on the earth. Everybody is going to be affected. And in fact, it's going to bring a level of destruction that all the people currently living on earth have never experienced before. And yet, the Lord said to Noah in the midst of that, he says, "But with you will I establish my covenant." Watch this, and then he says, "And you will come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." So notice, the Lord said, "I'm going to have you build this ark." The Lord gave him the specifications of that ark. And the Lord said, that ark and you being preserved by that ark is going to be the way that I establish my covenant with you. That shows me and that tells me that that ark was the provision that God made to enforce his covenant with Noah and his family, even though the entire world was being subjected to this assault of the flood. Now, I want you to pay attention to the fact that no matter how long that flood went on for, I think in their case, it may have gone on, I think it was 150 days, I think. Let me get that right. I think it was about 5 months altogether in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 24. It says, the waters prevailed mightily upon the earth 150 days, 5 months. 5 months. So even though the flood that came upon the ark prevailed and tied up the people who were living on the earth for a whole 150 days, a whole 5 months, Noah and his family living inside that ark had a totally different experience. Noah and his family. Now, they were on the earth, but they were not subjected to the assault of the flood. Why? Because the Lord had created a provision by his covenant that then became their defense against the flood that the earth was subjected to. So, our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense. As long as Noah built that ark according to the specifications that the Lord gave him. Because you remember, the Lord gave him specs. He told him, I want you to do this. I want you to be according to so many cubits. I want you to make this side. And then I want you to put this window here. And I want you to... The Lord told him exactly how he was supposed to build that ark. Now, as long as Noah built that ark exactly how the Lord had told him to build the ark, and he followed the specifications exactly according to the instructions of the word of God, Noah was safe. Now also, when the time came and the Lord said to Noah and to his wife and their sons and their the sons' wives and his entire family, he said, now I want you to get into the ark. Noah didn't argue. He didn't have a debate about it. He simply went into the ark and he was safe with his family. So that ark represented the covenant, the provision that the Lord had made to preserve their lives. I want you to relate with our covenant with Jehovah God like that ark. I want that strong analogy to be in your heart always. Like I said, COVID-19 is what we're talking about right now, but COVID-19 is not the last thing the enemy is going to throw into the world. It's not his last attack. That's not his last, it's not his worst one either. So, but no matter what it is, no matter what comes in the world, no matter what comes against us, remember the word of God says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, the greater one who is in us has already made provisions for our protection, provisions for our preservation in the light of anything else that we're going to experience. The greater one within us has already made a provision for us. And so I want us, as we get into this now, and I'm going to have us actually go and start off from Psalm 91 and Isaiah 54, two very very well-known, popular scriptures that a lot of us know, again, to reinforce that principle that our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against every assault of the enemy. Amen. Amen. Now, after we read Psalm 91 and Isaiah, some parts, a few verses in Isaiah 54, I want us then to look at three aspects of this covenant defense. And we're going to look at a few other familiar scriptures, but I want us to some from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, and at least one major one in the New Testament in the epistles. And I want us to dig in to this covenant that the Lord has given to us. Now, why do I believe that the Lord wants us to do that? Because the stronger you are in that covenant, the more understanding you have of that covenant, the more you remind yourself of that covenant, the more at peace you will be, and the more effectual that act, that covenant will be for you in this season and in the days and weeks and months to come. Amen. So let's go quickly then to the Psalms, Psalm 91. Again, it's a popular one, and I'm just going to read it slowly. And if you can, I want you to put your eyes on your Bible as well. Let's read it together, if you can. Psalm 91 from verse 1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." There are two names of the Lord used there. The Most High is El Elyon. That's the Most High God. The Almighty is El Shaddai. There's only one reason I'm pointing that out to you, because everything around this covenant revolves around the redemptive names of God. The promises He's made, the provisions He's made, and all that He has assured us of are reflected in a lot of the names. Many of them that are well known. Some of them I'm sure you've heard. You've read about or you've heard messages on. Some of them, though, we don't even know. Some of them have not really been. We haven't been told what the actual name is. But the character of God is always expressed in His name. And right there at the very beginning of Psalm 91, it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of El Elyon, the Most High God, will abide under the shadow of El Shaddai, the Almighty God." One of the most powerful things you are going to see in the way that the covenant works is that a lot of times the covenant does not say things will not happen. It doesn't say there won't be an assault of the enemy. It doesn't say there won't be attacks. It doesn't say there won't be plagues. It doesn't say that. But what it says is, "I'll shield you from it." And many times the way He shields us from many of those things is He puts us above them. That's one of the reasons why I love the name El Elyon. Because El Elyon, that's the Most High God. That's the Most High God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. That is, He knows everything that exists on this earthly plane. In fact, of course, I'm sure one of your favorite scriptures, like it is mine, for protection, in the area of protection and things like that, is in Isaiah 54. We're going to read that too, where the Lord said, "No weapon fashioned against you will prosper," right? Now notice, He didn't say the weapons will not be fashioned. He didn't say that. In fact, in that scripture, He said, I know the person, the people who are making the weapons, I know them. I know how they are making them. I have access and understanding about everything they are going to do and how they are going to put it together. He says that, but at the end of the day, it's not going to prosper against you. Right. So understand that the way that the covenant works, just like it worked for Noah, it didn't say, well, yeah, the earth is going to go through a flood, but you may not even be aware there is a flood. No, He said, I will have you build or create an ark that protects you and shields you from it. So He says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, El Elyon, they will abide under the shadow. Thank you. They will abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. Notice, because He's going to make us rise above, He's going to put us above the assault of the enemy, we are going to be covered under the shadow of the Almighty God. And so we may even see those things. We may see the plague. We may see the effect of it. We may see the different assaults of the enemy. But we are going to be dwelling in this high place. And in the New Testament, the Bible calls it, says it's a place where it's far above all principalities and powers. and all dominion and every name that is named. Because we dwell in the secret place of El Elyon, the Most High God. All right. So that's, I just wanted to preface everything else that we read in Psalm 91 with that very powerful and very important point. But let's read on now. So he says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. He says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. You know what? I have a good idea. Instead of reading the thou's and you's and all of that, why don't we personalize it like David did, Psalm 23? Instead of saying, the Lord is your good shepherd, why don't we say, the Lord is my good shepherd, right? So why don't we say from verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings will I trust. His truth will be my shield and my buckler. I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. Only with my eyes will I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, El Elyon, my habitation. There will no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. Of course, COVID-19 is a plague. But he says, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. He said, for he will give His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. So wherever you have to go, He'll keep you in all your ways. He says, His angels will bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I will tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, shall I trample under my feet. Now that's figuratively speaking. But if we compare this current assault of the enemy or any other assault of the enemy to the lion, the dragon, the adder, and all of that, then the word of God is saying we will trample them under our feet. So they won't reign over us. We will reign over them. It says, because I have set His love, I have set my love upon Him. He says, therefore He will deliver me. He will set me on high because I have known His name. Now, I like that one, because if you look at that in the Amplified, it really talks about not just knowing the name mentally, but having an experience, having revelation knowledge of the name. In the Amplified, in verse 14, it says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He knows and understands my name. Watch this. He has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. He trusts and He relies on me, knowing I will never forsake Him. No, never. Oh, I love that. I love that. He says He knows and He understands my name. This is the Amplified. He has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. He trusts and He relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, never. But notice all of that is incumbent on my knowing and understanding his name, having a personal revelation knowledge of who he is. That's what he said there. So I know him as El Elyon, not just mentally, not just because I read it. Yes, that's powerful. Reading it is powerful. But I've got to interact with it strongly enough until it becomes set as a revelation within me, almost like I'm like Peter walking on water. Like, you know, what do you imagine Peter may have felt walking on the water? Of course, we're talking before he stumbled, and I know many times we wanna laugh at Peter because he walked a little bit and then started sinking. Well, all of us have never even walked. There's none of us that at least he walked before he started sinking. Let's give him some credit for that. Some revelation must have put him in that zone where he was able to walk on the water. His physical, natural, mental awareness and senses were suspended to the point where he was able to do what Jesus did. Why? Because he was dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. He was there where El Elyon was operating from. He knew the Most High God. He knows this God is the God over the elements. This God is the God who can rebuke the storms. This God is the God who can walk on water. This God, there is nothing powerful enough on this natural earthly realm that can stop or limit the power of this God. And Peter knew that. We ought to know that. We ought to know that, because the more of the revelation of his nature, the more the revelation of who he is that we have in our lives, the more that covenant works for us. Like Noah, the more we build the covenant to the specifications, and the more we do what the Lord said to do with that covenant, the more that covenant becomes efficient in carrying us through the floods that are coming upon the earth. Now, so there in verse 15, he says, he will call upon me. So I will call upon him and he will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me. He will honor me. With long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. Amen. Amen. Now that's Psalm 91. I know you are familiar with it. I encourage you to dwell in that secret place. From time to time, just open to Psalm 91 and read it over yourself and read it over your family and read it in your praying and read it in your studying and read it in your meditation and just declare it over yourself. Because the more you do that, the more the revelation of who this God is becomes a reality and a manifestation in your life. All right, let's look at that other scripture there, Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, because our covenant is our defense. Our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against the assaults of the enemy, against COVID-19, against every other assault and every attack of the enemy. All right, let's read Isaiah 54, and let's read from verse 10. I'm going to read just verse 10, and then I'm going to jump to verse 13. He says in verse 10, actually, you know, it's interesting. I want to be careful not to back up all the way to verse 1. But let's read it from verse 9. I know I'm trying to keep this abbreviated so I can go to my other scriptures here. But because I talked about Noah earlier on, and the Lord actually talked about Noah in verse 9. Let's read it from verse 9, okay? And so he says in verse 9, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you." Because of his loving kindness to Moses, to Noah and his family. Because of his tender mercy to Noah and his family, which was as a result of his covenant with Noah and his family. God said, exactly what I did with Noah, I'm going to do with you. He says in verse 10, "For the mountains shall depart, the hills will be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy upon you. So everything we know, as we know it, may change. The mountains may depart. The hills may be removed. Everything may change as we know it. I mean, that is already happening with this current plague. Only God knows how things evolve eventually. But you know, there's already a shifting going on. You know, life isn't exactly the way it was a month ago for many of us, for many people in our nation, for many people all over the world. I've just mentioned to you our brother in India, Ashish, what he wrote about. Life is already different from how many of us know it. But you know what? His covenant with us will never change. You know that? His covenant with you will never change. In fact, that's what he said here. He says, the mountains will depart, the hills will be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on you. So nothing is ever going to change the covenant provision that the Lord has made with you and with me. No matter what happens on the earth, no matter what happens with this plague or with any other assault of the enemy that may be thrown the way of the world, none of those things is ever going to change the covenant provision that the Lord has made with us. Notice that part of that covenant provision is the promise of peace. He calls it the covenant of peace. My covenant of peace will not be removed, saith the Lord, that has mercy on you. Now, if you go down to verse 13, it tells us, just like it was for Noah, this covenant is not just for us. This covenant is not just for us as individuals. This covenant covers us. It covers our families. It covers our children. It covers our loved ones. You know, that's exactly how it was for Noah. Noah was commanded and instructed to go into the ark, not alone, but with his wife, with his sons' wives, and even with representatives of every animal species. This covenant covers you, and it covers your family, it covers your children, it covers your loved ones. And so he says in verse 13, and all your children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. That's the same covenant of peace that he promised us earlier. He says, in righteousness you will be established, and you will be far from oppression. For you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. He said, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake, the Bible says. Whosoever, whatsoever, anything that gathers together or that is aimed against our well-being, the Bible says, will fall for our sake. All of that is because of the defense of our covenant. Amen. And then he says in verse 16, which I alluded to earlier, he says, behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire and that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I've created the waster who destroys. He says, but I know them. I know where they live. I know everything about their skill and everything about their business. He says, no weapon that is fashioned or formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord God. Amen. Amen. That covenant is an all-encompassing shield, all-encompassing defense against every assault of the enemy. No matter how it comes, no matter how it is drafted, the word of God says it will not prosper against you because you are a child of God's covenant. You are called in partnership with Jehovah God. Hallelujah. Now, let's move on here. And I want us to talk quickly about three different levels of this covenant and how it is our defense. So obviously, the very first part that I want us to look into is the defense part. How this covenant is our defense. How this covenant becomes our protection. And I want you to quickly look with me. Go to the book of Exodus. And I want you to look at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Now, you remember when the plague was sent out against the Egyptians, the Lord prepared his children, the people of covenant, and he gave Moses specific instructions. He said to Moses, "This is what I want the children of Israel to do. This is how I want them to get ready for that plague that is going to go upon the earth." And essentially, what the Lord was instructing them to do was to enforce the defense of the covenant. Now, let's read this together from verse 7, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of their houses, wherein they shall eat it." That's the blood of the lamb that they killed, which in our context is akin to the blood, the New Testament blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Let's jump all the way to verse 12. It says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13, it says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token." Hallelujah. "The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood," when I see the blood, "I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now, and then of course he goes on and talks about how this is a memorial, should be an eternal memorial to them. I want you to pay attention to two aspects of what he said in this particular verse, verse 13. First, he said, "The blood will be to you for a token." Now, that blood represents the covenant. And we said one of the first major aspects of these three major aspects that we're talking about tonight, one of the first major aspects of how the covenant is our defense is that it actually is a defense. It defends us. Now, he said, "The blood will be to you for a token." That word token, for those of you who are into Hebrew, who love Hebrew words, is a word O-T-H, but it's pronounced Ot. And that word, it says, "The blood," referring to the covenant, it says, "The blood will be a token." That word token means a distinguishing mark. It means a distinguishing mark. There are other words that are used to describe it, and I think I'll look at that, and then I'll have you look at what Paul said in Galatians 5:17 about a mark, the mark of Christ upon himself. Right. Now, but that word, he says, "The blood will be to you as a distinguishing mark." And there are other words that equate that word out. It will be a banner. What does a banner do? A banner covers. In the time of rain, if you get under a banner, it covers. Or a banner is like a post. It's something that announces something. It's a sign. When you write something on a banner, everybody can see what you write on that banner. So he says, this covenant is a banner. What is written on that banner is, you can't come here. You cannot come here because I am under the cover of the blood. I am in covenant with Jehovah God. It's a defense. That banner announces clearly to everybody that cares to look at it He says, I am undercover. You can't come here. That word means is a distinguishing mark, is a banner. Then is a miraculous sign. It means a miraculous sign. It means a warning. It means a standard. It means a proof. It means a pledge. It means a wonder. I mean, you can go now. That word is used in many parts of the Old Testament, especially where the Bible talks about God being a God of wonders, where it talks about the wonders of God, the wonder-working power of God and all of that. But just think about it for a minute. The covenant is our defense. So the covenant guarantees a wonder-filled experience for every child of God. The covenant makes you a child of wonder. Remember where the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, it says, myself and the children that the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and wonders. The covenant makes you a sign and a wonder. That is, the covenant causes things to happen in our lives that make people go, and that is already happening even in this season. Hallelujah. That is already happening even in this season. People are going, that's hard to explain, people will say. That is hard to explain. How do you explain that? No, you can't. Because it is a wonder. It is a wonder. The covenant is a defense and it makes you a sign and a wonder. Notice the Lord said, that blood representing the blood of the Lamb that was slain, representing the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that became the seal of the new covenant that was enacted through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That covenant blood is a miraculous sign. It is a wonder. So, beloved, the more of that covenant we dwell in, like Noah in the ark, the more of a wonder we are. The more of a wonder we are. The more of that covenant we experience, we encounter, the more of a wonder the Lord makes us. He says a proof. What kind of proof is that? A proof that I belong to God. Your covenant is a defense. Your covenant with Jehovah God is a defense. Is a proof. I belong to God. You remember one time in the New Testament when Paul was traveling and there was this storm that was raging and everybody was about to perish in that storm. And the angel of the Lord showed up. This was, I think, in Acts chapter 27. The angel of the Lord showed up and started to speak to Paul. And Paul announced, after he had this encounter with God, he announced to everybody on that ship, he said, for this night, behold, this night, an angel of the Lord to whom I belong, whose I am and to whom I belong, he came and he told me there will be no harm upon our lives. Yes, we will lose the sheep, but there will be no harm upon our lives. He said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and to whom I belong. That covenant is a proof that you belong to God. Is a proof that you and I belong to God. So, Jesus will not have COVID-19. Jesus will never ever suffer under the assault of COVID-19. And the proof that we belong to him is that we should not suffer under the assault of COVID-19. It's a proof. Now, the more of our covenant we embrace, the more of our covenant we experience, the more of our covenant is a revelation to us, the more that proof becomes proven, becomes established, that there is a proof that everything that the Lord ordained regarding this covenant is manifested in our lives. Amen. Amen. Oath is a pledge. It's another word that is used there. It's a pledge. That is, what's that pledge? It's a pledge that Jehovah God has made to us as his covenant children. Like he made a pledge to Noah. He told Noah, he says, as long as you are in this ark, don't worry about the flood. Don't worry. No matter how long that flood goes on for, no matter how bad the flood goes on for, I give you my pledge. And then when they came out of the ark, when the flood subsided and the rain stopped, then God gave him another pledge after Noah made a sacrifice. And God said, I make a pledge to you as long as the earth remains. He said to him, seed time and harvest will never cease upon the earth. And you know, that pledge has been kept till today. That covenant is a pledge. The Lord has made a pledge to you. That's why we read in Psalm 91. He says, yeah, 1,000 may fall on your side, 10,000 may fall on your right. He said, but it will not come near your dwelling. That's a pledge. He said, only with your eyes you will see the reward of the wicked, but it will not touch you and it will not come near your dwelling place. That's a pledge. He said, he has given his angels charge over you so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. That's a pledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a pledge. Glory to God. So our covenant is a defense because of what it represents. It carries us. It's a miracle. It makes us a wonder. It's a banner that declares. It's a proof that we belong to God. Hallelujah. It makes us a wonder like he is. And the more of that covenant we walk in, the more of that proof will be established in our lives. I think I have enough time to go to a second manifestation and a second aspect of this covenant being our defense. Go with me now. It's another very popular piece of scripture. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Let's go and spend a little bit of time in the New Testament here. Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we've talked about the covenant being our defense, right? The covenant is our defense, but the covenant is also our redemption. The covenant is our redemption. What does it mean to redeem something? Now, in that scripture, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What does it mean to redeem something? It means to buy it. It means to pay whatever price is required to possess it. So, Jesus paid the ultimate price to redeem us. Remember, we're talking about the covenant is our redemption. We are the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible says in Psalm 107 verses 1 and 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Why is our redemption so powerful and so important? Because the redemption that we experience through Christ is what put him in our position and put us in his position. Redemption is an exchange. The redemption that we experience through Christ put him in our position and put us in his position. Because of redemption and because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, everything that Jesus was and everything that Jesus is, you and I can be. Why? Because he took our place so that we can take his place. Now, there are three levels in which it became a curse for us, there are three ramifications of that curse. There are three. What's the curse of the law? The curse of the law is a threefold curse. Is a curse that brought sin and that kept man under dominion of sin. That's one. Number two is a curse that brought sickness and kept man under the dominion of sickness. And number three is a curse that brought poverty and kept man under the dominion of poverty. Every time you hear the expression, the curse of the law manifests in three major ways. Sin and the dominion of sin, sickness and the dominion of sickness, poverty and the dominion of poverty. Now, the flip side to the curse of the law is what the Bible describes as the blessing of Abraham. Under the blessing of Abraham, the dominion of sin is destroyed because the Bible says Abraham was declared righteous. Under the blessing of Abraham, the curse of sickness is destroyed because the Bible says that Abraham lived a full life and he was blessed in all things. Under the blessing of Abraham, the curse of poverty is destroyed because the Bible says Abraham prospered and God blessed him with material blessings. He blessed him in his physical life. He blessed him in his physical body. He blessed him in his material possessions. So Jesus paid the price for our redemption. When we say we are redeemed, the reason we say we are redeemed is he took our place so that we can take his place. Why is this so important? Let's just touch this bit. A little bit here, and then we close tonight. It's 8:55. Why is this so important? It's so important because our covenant is our defense against the assault of the enemy. This covenant has already given us redemption. We are redeemed because of the covenant. Therefore, if we are redeemed, sin can no longer have dominion over us. Sickness, in any way, shape, or form that it shows up, can no longer have dominion over us. Poverty, in any way, shape, or form that it shows up, can no longer have dominion over us. And you know, at every level, Jesus took care of all of those things. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? You know also in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the Bible says he became poor. He, who even though he was rich, but for our sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty, we may become rich. And then in sickness, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, he took upon him our sickness. He was bruised. He was broken. He was chastised so that we can experience the peace and the full divine health that God provided through redemption. Well, remember, child of God, COVID-19 is under the curse of sickness. Is a virus, is a disease. It is not allowed to touch us. It is not allowed to hurt us. Even if you have a symptom, that covenant guarantees that sickness cannot have dominion over you. Even if you have a symptom, you will dominate it. It will not dominate you. So it will not take you out. It will not kill you. It will not move you out of your inheritance. And then all the other side effects, how it affects finances, how it affects job, how it affects relationship, how it affects any of these other things. The Bible says that will not have dominion over you because you are the redeemed of the Lord. I think this is a good place to stop tonight. Hallelujah. As I close, I want you to remember, our covenant is our defense against the assault of the enemy. Our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against the assault of COVID-19 and every other assault. I want you to remember as you go every day, remind yourself, remind your family, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm covered in His covenant. I'm in partnership with Jehovah God. I have a proof of His presence in my life. And the Lord will keep you. The Lord will protect you. The Lord will perfect everything that concerns you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's share a word of prayer and close this out. Thank you again so much for being with us. Let's just pray together. Father, I thank you so very much for the grace that you made available for us tonight to study your word, to get into the promises that you have made to us, to share this word with your precious people. I thank you for all of my brothers and my sisters, everyone that is able to join us tonight, and those who would listen to this message afterwards, whether they listen to the audio of it or watch the teaching itself directly. Father, let the same anointing that was in this studio tonight, the same anointing that was transmitted through these airwaves tonight, let that same anointing, let it provoke a supernatural experience in all of their lives. Let this word help them stand. Let this word create a secret place for them where El Elyon is. Let this word elevate them so that they are dwelling in the high place of the Most High God. Let this word produce in all of their lives. Protect them, bless them, keep them in the name of Jesus. Father, we've already come under the covering of the blood. The covenant is our ark that is carrying us. Let it carry your people through this season. Let the blessing of heaven be our inheritance and our portion. Make us a sign and a wonder upon the earth. I thank you, Father. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. And I call your people blessed tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our Bible study, an hour in the Word. What a rich hour this has been. Remember, we're going to do this again next week. We're going to do this. We trust the Lord to help us do this for a couple of weeks or so to go. And we'll see how things play out. But our goal is to keep the Word going out, coming to you, using every opportunity, that every medium and every platform that we can, especially in this season. We would keep doing what we're doing, this the online thing and the conference call thing. We'll do it for a little bit. Time may come where we might do just the conference, but we'll keep this word going, and we'll follow the Lord. We'll see how the Lord leads us. We'll be careful to follow in the footsteps that He lays out for us, and the pattern and the blueprint that He gives to us. The most important thing, though, stay in the Word. Make sure you keep your eyes on that Word. Yes, monitor what's going on through the news and through other things, but make sure the Word of God has your full attention, and the Lord will keep you. We love you. God bless you, and have a good night. Amen.